Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST. Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome everybody to the Tommy and Hector podcast with Loretta Blewett. Now, before we start today, I want to light this candle thing. Now, years ago, I got myself a spiritual director. Do you know what that is?
Well, no, but it's like someone that takes care of the singing at mass.
No, that's a musical director.
Oh yeah, the spiritual director.
A spiritual director is
channels your inner chakras.
Yeah.
Why did you get that now?
For your shows.
No, no, for God. I wanted someone to help me on my journey towards God.
Right.
This was years ago when I was at Egypt.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. So you don't still have one?
I don't.
You've grown out of that phase.
Well, I'm just not interested.
What, and what kind of a qualified person would be that?
So when you join the priesthood, you have a spiritual director, someone who keeps an eye on you in terms of all your religion. And
so he's a priest, like?
Yeah, he's another priest, yeah. But he's
a fancy name for a priest.
He's like an educator. As opposed to a priest.
What are you doing, Hector?
Because I'm fiddling, because there's so much technical stuff now.
Yeah.
I can't see you with the amount of equipment we have.
Well, just pipe peep over it.
Right, got me.
That's why I said let's get settled before we
start.
Sorry,
I wasn't settled. I feel now as if I'm in a BBC Radio 4 studio.
Good. Anyway,
pop
so
mics and
the
pop
live
peas.
Sessions.
Everybody, so like, do you know the nuns on Nuns Island?
Yes.
Four Clares.
Yes.
They'd have a spiritual director. They'd have some, so it's someone that the nuns can go to.
If they were lacking in a bit of, you know, feeling a bit of doubt.
Yeah, and just to, they'd meet with them maybe once a month just to go to, how are you feeling? How's everything going? A lot of fellas in monastic orders would have it. Maybe parish priests have it, I don't know. But anyway, I thought it'd be exciting if I got a spiritual director.
So
I went to an undercover Franciscan that I know.
An undercover. I was thinking it had to be a bit undercover already.
And he said, I'll sort you out with this fella. So I met this bona fide Franciscan and he became my spiritual director for a couple of, but I did about six sessions. But one of the things he used to do was, and this is a real Irishy priesty thing now, he said, before we start, just so that we remember the presence of God as we're talking, we'll light a candle. And he would do what I'm doing now, which is light a little candle like that. And I always thought it was stupid. Like, I had no time for it. I thought, Jesus Christ, if you don't see God in other people and in buildings and in clothes and flowers and coffee, and if you don't see God in the rain and the wind and taxi drivers and puddles of water and whiskey and poutine and ham sandwiches, if you don't see God in everything, like, you're screwed. But now I kind of like it.
Well, I think he might have been using
what smell is the candle?
So today's candle is tobacco and black magic. No, tobacco and black pepper.
Well, black magic. I'm pretty sure the priest wasn't like scented candles.
Did you ever go to a house and go, there's an awful smell of black magic in this house?
They used to be sweets.
Was someone riding chickens?
They used to be sweets.
The black
now,
magic.
So that's what we start
that
with
is, that. That is quite funny that he has lit a candle here.
Yeah.
Because on my journey here today, this morning, before I left my place of abode, I decided to take something from my house and bring it to this place of podcast pilgrimage.
The wife, is it?
So it is quite funny, Tommy, that you have decided to start the ceremonial podcast by lighting a candle, where I have brought a gift from my house to the place of worship.
Is it undercover Francisco?
Let him out of the car.
He's been
Let him
27
out.
Years working in Venezuela. It's Padre Padre Flaherty.
No. Hola, mis amigos.
Hola. Remind me to tell you about a Franciscan I met in Honduras. But that is mad that you've done that, Tommy. That you've because
Why, what's your present?
Because I would be big into that candle lighting. I would be big into incense in different times of the day in my house, especially if we had Donegal catch in the kitchen at about 7 in the evening. Oh. I love getting incense. I like incense in different parts of the house. But today, I have taken something from my house to this place of worship, our yes. podcast, to this hen house that you haven't seen in, I'd say, over 10 years. And you will remember the moment when I take it out, because when we sat in a darkened studio on 2FM on the first ever Saturday morning to do our 2FM radio show, you brought a little piece of wood and you plonked it in front of the mixing desk. And I left it there for 3 years doing my breakfast show. And it guided me. And I said to myself, he was on my ledge back at home. And I said, I need now to take him to my new place of talking.
Right, yeah.
And Loretta, this is it.
Okay, so maybe that's what we've been missing out on.
This is it.
Is it the little manny?
And it's the little man, Tommy.
And what
Look at him! Look at him! So Tommy,
did you make that while you were in, like, locked up or something?
Loretta.
Oh, Loretta, please, why do you always bring the car? We are drifting on a spiritual like Celtic odyssey it. Here.
So for people who don't know, it's...
First year woodwork.
It's like an old Irish saint Apostle. Thing. That you'd carve. It's very rudimentary. It's very simple.
It's like a fir bullock.
It's a fir bullock. That's it.
It reminds me of something I made for my junior cert art project. Except I made it out of clay. I should have made it out of timber.
That's the little fir bullock, man. And we'll put him.
Yeah, did you make him yourself?
No, but you see,
no, Loretta.
Loretta, please. I want you to come back to your spiritual.
Take a picture of it so we can put it up.
Yeah, the simplicity of it is.
It's what it signifies.
Yeah, it's not that it's like it's not difficult to make a cross.
This is an old fir bullock. It's an old Irish apostle, Celtic
apostle.
It's
absolutely amazing. Well, so gorgeous.
So put him there
so we can look down on
us. And the funny thing is, that he's shaped like a fir bullock monk. And my first ever tattoo that's tattooed on my body, I got it 17 years
of
age.
Oh yeah, he does look like
him. And Tommy brought it to the place on that Saturday morning. You remember, Tom?
I sure do. He's a lovely little man.
He's a nice little man.
He'll guide us well now over the next
and
couple of
years. And he sits beside the bottle of poaching.
Well, he's in good company then.
I'll tell you, a beautiful or strange coincidence that happened to me recently. Two. Now, make of this what you will. So, I was doing the Ray Darcy radio show and I was sitting in here. There's an ISDN line come down to this particular shed. So, an ISDN line, for those who don't know, it's a radio quality landline that you can talk over that makes you sound as if you're in the studio when you're phoning into RTE or News Talk or whatever whoever you're talking to. So I have one of them down here in this shed. Because I remember when I got it, I was touring America and Canada and Australia, and I'd have all these interviews set up, and I'd come down here at 3 o'clock in the morning to talk to a radio station in Canada or 8 a.m. to do an Australian radio station. So I got this gadget and it's fantastic. So I'm down here before the Ray Darcy show, right? A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to him. And this room is full of books. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll need to get myself in the zone for talking to Ray. You know, so the zone, my zone for Ray is trying to find the funny lad in my own head, right? Trying to access words, trying to find a fluency of speech, you know? So I have a book which is called the Dictionary of Hiberno English. So it's all old Irish words and words that
I know it.
Yeah, you know, words that we kind of that are peculiar to Ireland but not England, right?
Yes,
and that are kind of half English, half Irish.
Right.
I came across some beautiful ones recently from the Aran Islands. One is smeesh. Smeesh.
Or the aig.
Smeesh means snot. Isn't it a beautiful word for
smeesh,
snot?
Yeah.
Smeesh.
Sounds
when
a
smeesh of the aig.
Yeah. Shramach. Shramach is a little bit of. Do you have the little kind of
sleep in your
duck's
eye.
Feet? Duck's feet.
Duck's feet. You call it. So the little bit of sleep that gets in your eyes.
That little bit of yellow.
Yes.
Some people have that yellow all the time, every day, and I'm envious of them.
Why?
That means they're sleeping deeply,
even while you're talking to them,
and they never take it out of the corner.
I thought you were going to say it's a liver problem.
But anyway, so I, 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 open this book anyway, and I'm looking through it. And next thing, Tommy, we'll be with you in 1 minute. Just stay there on the line. The producer called me up. And when the producer asked me to wait, I can hear what Ray is saying on the actual show.
Mm.
And what book is he talking about?
No.
Only the Dictionary of Hiberno English. That the coincidence of that is fucking mental. Of the thousands of books I have in my house, of the millions of books he could be talking about, there was a kind of a synchronicity there of both of us at the same time dealing with the same book. Fine, little moment, it was gone. The following day, an entirely unrelated coincidence, I'm listening back to one of the podcasts that we've done, maybe to do a bit of an edit on it, you know.
Mm.
And I'm listening to the section on getting your prostate examined.
Mm.
Right? Yes.
I'm just listening to that, and then I'm kind of, bits of it are making me laugh and bits of it are making me think. And then I kind of scroll forward to a bit where I'm talking about my father.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm talking my father's job and, you know, my father attending birth and all that stuff, you know. Next thing, me fucking mobile phone rings. I'm down here. And who was it? Me father. And why is he ringing me? He's ringing me to tell me to get me prostate examined.
No, get out of it.
Come
on. That's the fucking truth.
Yeah, well, Tommy, this is...
And I'll tell you a third one.
Ah, stop. A third one,
right?
What did he say on the phone? Tom, how are you?
He said, get your...
Well...
He said, get your PTS or your PST. There's a name for it. You don't say prostate straight out. Men wouldn't say prostate. I think. No. It's better if you have initials for it. Get your prostate...
Shorten it up.
Because it's hereditary. Like, there'd be a few men in the Tiernans who have that. So, this is the legendary one. And this is a story, Flann O'Brien, Miles na gCapaigne, and Brian O'Nolan, the Badger. All the same man. This is a story he told. Flann, at one stage of his life, took the ferry from Southampton to Bombay, which is now
Mumbai.
So as he was getting up, going up the plank in Southampton, right? Now this would have been in the 40s, so the 50s. So a big old ocean-going liner. You've seen it in all the films, you know, people have fucking suitcases climbing up there. There's a fella on the dock, and he's playing the accordion, you know, and it's just fucking, it's not Irish music or nothing, it's just singing all these English old jaunty songs and stuff like that, and you know, people are giving him a few pence and stuff like that, and they go to sea. It takes them 4 months to get to India. Where would you go, Hector? France?
Well, you go down. You'd have to go down underneath the Cape of Horn.
Or would you go maybe the Suez Canal?
I don't know, unless they paid their way through it. They could have went round the Horn of Africa and up in
Madagascar.
Up in past Madagascar on your right.
Yeah.
And sailed right on across.
Madagascar on your right.
A long fucking journey, like. Right? Yeah. So eventually, after 4 months at sea, this big ocean liner is pulling in to the dock in Bombay, right? Hundreds of thousands of people getting off the boat. Flann is walking down with a suitcase. And who is sitting on the dock playing the accordion?
The same.
Someone completely different.
Okay.
I don't
We've just got an eight.
That's a Flann O'Brien story. That's about
right,
a story
what's
about
the coincidence that you...
But you said, the worst of all was...
Jesus Christ. I thought you were going to give me one classic moment. Flann O'Brien's cousin was there.
Look, what I did...
He's married a girl from...
I was going to say, is it Otis Goa? Redding?
No.
Sitting in the dock.
No, it's nothing to do with that.
Now, that would be funny.
Right.
But, no, the reason I told you that story was because the first two were genuine coincidences. Right.
And you should have left it there. Yeah, it was pretty impressive, the first two.
And we liked that, Lorena, didn't we?
Yeah.
Do you find that?
No, I don't believe the first two happened. So.
Do you find the Flann O'Brien story interesting?
Funny? No.
Okay, we'll leave it there. He's dead, God be good to him.
Well, you know, I'm sure that wasn't one of his better stories.
Anyway, how was your week?
My week was good. I brought my aunt up to Galway this morning, and we left Knockmore at about 8:45, and we got to Kilchimaw about 20 minutes later, and she was still praying. Yeah, we did. I'd
How do you
say
mean?
She started with the Hail Mary.
Out loud?
I had the radio on and I was driving, so I was trying to, not sure if I was supposed to interact with her. So I was...
It was just the two of you in the car?
Yeah. So I...
No, so you're driving and she's sitting there beside
you. She said,
you.
And we'll say a few prayers now when we left the house. And I said, yeah, that's... I didn't answer. In my own head, I was like, okay. And she started with the Hail Mary and then she started blessing the car and blessing the people that were in the car and blessing the journey that we were taking and that we got there. And she had some
a lovely ritual.
A lovely kind of a little poem about the car.
Isn't that lovely? And tell me more about your auntie now. Is she married or is she married?
Well, she's a nun, so no, I don't think she's married. Oh, I think they're married to God, aren't they?
To Jesus.
She's a nun. Jesus. That explains the lot of prayer in the
car. She's married to Jesus. So, we had a prayer session the whole
He's married to a fair amount of people now.
He is, a lot of nuns.
For a man leading a church that believes in monogamy.
He's got a lot of women around him.
He's got a huge harem of nuns.
Did you feel safe in the car then?
I was safe. I felt safe driving, you know, in my own ability.
Do you have a holy water font?
I do.
And do you have a holy water font?
Yeah.
Okay. You also have to remember, all
in
water,
the home house.
All water is holy water. It doesn't have to be sacramentalized by a priest.
Oh, there's water in everyone's house then.
But, I mean, a specific little font that you'd give a few droplets to someone as they're leaving the door.
Yeah, sometimes it's empty more than it's full.
It dries out awful quick, doesn't it?
It does.
I'd have a little bottle with me when I'm travelling and a few little tiny bits with me.
And is it sacramentalized or is it...
Yeah, be knock. 100%
what?
Knock water. Knock water is the only holy water.
Jeez, I must bring you up some on the way. I'll have to stop somewhere.
Do
you want some?
Oh, yeah, I
need a few litres of
it. We're replenished. Replenished.
I'll bring a milk bottle.
No, you can get a 2 litre up there, can't you? Just dip it in. And
well, you can bring your own bottle. I think it's free, isn't it?
A couple of gallons of
it. You can't pay for that.
Knock water is all over Connacht, isn't it? Knock holy water.
Yeah, sure. It's the only holy water, really. Yeah. Unless someone goes to Medjugorje and brings it back.
Would you have the rosary beads in around the indicator?
My mother would always have had given, you know, she'd always have one left in the car.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Wrapped around the mirror with the cross hanging down.
She'd just make sure it was in the car somewhere or other. So,
for the safe journey.
And my sister has a year old little girl now and she still hasn't christened the child yet because of, you know, for different reasons.
And
this
does she
year.
Keep her in the car for
COVID? But my aunt keeps saying to her, you know, you're depriving the child of life if you don't baptise her soon. And she's saying, oh yeah, well, I just haven't got around to it yet. And she's like, well, you know, she's a year old now and, you know, God forbid if anything happens to her and she's not christened.
They believe that they go to, is it limbo?
I don't know where they go.
Limbo.
Limbo.
Purgatory. Now, the thing about purgatory is you can be prayed out of purgatory.
Oh, right.
So say you were neither good nor bad, but you were more neither bad nor good. Do you know
you
what I mean?
You were sort of middle of the road. Look.
No, not even middle of the road. I think if you're middle of the road, you get into heaven.
Oh, okay.
That's my feeling of it. Purgatory is where you're bad, but you're not bad enough to meet the devil. Do you know? You're just a bit of a wagon.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or a spatchcock.
I thought if you got blessed before you died, all your sins were, you know, absolved.
If the priest comes into you and goes, what's it called? Final absolution.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. But there are, say, people who just slip under the radar.
Right, yeah.
Who go to purgatory. But they can be prayed out of purgatory.
Oh, right.
Can you come out of limbo though? Can you come out of limbo? Limbo is if you go down the laneway. Limbo is
full. Limbo's packed.
Limbo's packed with lunatics and ludramons.
And they're the people that aren't baptized.
I'll tell you,
they're the people that aren't baptized.
I'll tell you, there's a lot of
Chinese people in it.
Is there?
a lot of Russians.
There's a road near Ratcairn, which is in the village of Ratcairn, where I learned all my Irish back in the Gaeltacht. And just as you come out of the hall in Ratcairn. And Cosentu er Yesh, and the locals call it Sheas Limbo, is the laneway to the right outside the hall in Ratcairn.
What's wrong with the people that live down there?
It's just Gentry Sheas Limbo. I stayed
Didn't
in a house
baptized.
There.
What does that mean?
Down Limbo. Limbo is the name of the laneway in Ratcairn, and I stayed in Limbo. I stayed in a house called T. Conan and the Fodgin. They're McDonough's.
Yeah.
McDonough. And they would go, call it Tach. Where's the house? Sheas Limbo. Limbo was the name of the laneway in Ratcairn.
What must have happened down there?
Isn't that interesting?
Now, it was hardly a road where they buried the unchristened, was it?
I don't know.
Could be.
But there's a name of a little laneway in Ratcairn. Come the last name is called Limbo. She's Limbo. And the next time we're up there, Tommy, I'll drive you down Limbo.
We'll do the Tommy Dexter podcast with the Rita Boone live from Limbo! So you're in the car this morning with the nun.
Yes.
Now, isn't there, I think that's a nice ritual we have of throwing a bit of holy water.
Oh, it is lovely.
I think, you know, it it just, it's kind of
there's something, isn't there?
It's kind of the way Irish people would say God bless.
Yeah.
Especially Ronan Keating, he would say it a fair bit now. God bless.
Does he?
He does. God bless.
He's playing up on the
he's
Irish
mad for the God bless. So I think it's a nice, even if you don't believe in God, it's just a nice kind of,
it's an Irish thing,
nice,
yeah.
Nice gesture.
Absolutely.
God be good to you. God between us and all harm.
God, that's a good
May Jesus who died on the cross have no hard feelings again you. Do you know, these are great kind of
good phrases,
folk sayings. Because the intention behind them is good. The intention behind them is, I wish you well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I like that. You know, the little few prayers are nice. I do get a little bit, you know, when you're at a wake and the priest comes and you have to do the
press-ups.
Rosary. The press ups. After the press ups, you do the rosary. And you know, the priest does the first one and then he waits for a family member to do the next one.
Oh,
I always freak out. I have a problem. I never properly learned
the
bits, like
the jiggity bits.
Yeah, the start of it.
Yeah, it's tricky enough, isn't
the
it?
The days and the day, certain days you have the
sorrowful mysteries, the joyful mysteries. Yeah. The wonderful mysteries, the mysterious mysteries.
The messy mysteries.
It was that I didn't learn.
The agricultural
stations
mysteries.
The cross, another thing I didn't.
The physical
mysteries.
Stations of the cross.
Didn't ever learn them either. I used to walk around and stand there.
The stations of the cross are very long. How do you learn the stations of the cross?
It goes on for days,
well,
doesn't it?
Well, the older
that's
generation,
that's a long
of Irish
stint
people,
now.
They know them.
So anyway, you're coming down with your auntie the nun.
And I wasn't sure how to react. Like, I started with the Hail Mary with her and then she went into the poem kind of thing. And then she started,
the poem?
You know, kind of a rhyme about the car and the people
go on.
In it. Oh, I can't remember it. I wasn't really paying attention.
God bless the car. We're not going far. There's a spar. Pop in and get a Mars bar.
Yes, something totally. Like that, yeah. And said amen at the end of it.
Amen.
And then she did another three Hail Marys and a Glory Be to the Father.
Yeah, and did you say to the Son, to the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, I had the radio. I was at that awkward point where the radio was still on. She broke into the prayer. I didn't know whether I should turn the radio down.
Sure.
Or up. Yeah, I was sort of like in
you were
limbo.
In limbo.
I was in limbo.
Did you break it in? Did you?
No. Then I sort of brought it down a few decimals and I was amen.
How was she on the speed limit? Because you drive.
She was fine on the speed limit. She didn't overly panic about that.
Do you
that.
Drive like you learned how to drive in an arcade?
I drive speedy? Like I stole the car.
All right, you're fairly speedy.
Ah, no, no.
And
there's not many roads you can speed
and
in.
Did this nun that you're, you know, did she take a name when she became a nun?
Sister Aloysius.
Oh, lovely.
And she used to be a principal down in Clare in one of the secondary schools down in Listunvarna. She was the principal. And I, you know, if you're travelling and stuff, you'd meet people and where are you from? Oh, from Mayo. Where are you from? Oh, from Listunvarna. Oh, geez, did you ever have a teacher down there called Sister Aloysius? You know, I met this girl in Thailand and she says to me, she says, we used to call her Suspicious Aloysius. She was the principal. she had us every time. She said she'd come round the corner just when you'd be causing a bit of trouble.
I tell you, myself and Hector had a tough headmaster in Navan.
Did you?
Oh, God be good to him now.
Oh, in national school. Yeah.
May Jesus died on the cross, have no hard feelings against him. But he was militant. He was the first, as far as I know, the first non-religious headmaster of a secondary school in Ireland. So he must have been well in with them to get the kind of the lay nod, if you know what I mean.
Right, yeah. He was next step.
And it's funny.
He was a tough man, Jesus. But it's like he thrived on it. He was the Ferguson of headmasters.
He was throwing football boots at you.
He set fear into lads.
Fear. Pure fear.
We had a teacher like that.
Hector can do a good impersonation of him. Can you rise it up out of yourself there?
Get out! He had that. Get out, Dad! He's not as fair as yours.
But Liam Murphy was his name. And
I'll be good to him.
And Lord rest him. Liam Spud Murphy Spud was his nickname.
Yeah.
And I met him in later life. And I found him charming and nice because he was away from those walls and buildings where he didn't have to be strict. He was strict. He ruled that school with an iron fist.
The last time, so he'd create tension.
Get out! Get out! Get out!
If you're caught outside the class, if you're thrown out of a class, because back then you were thrown out of a class, you could be thrown out of a class for a day, a week. I stood outside French class for 3 months, just there with my bag. Miss Ryan threw me out for 3 months. 3 months. Like, I mean, the stuff they got away with, but it was brilliant. I just stood there for 3 months outside French class.
We had a teacher who, a lady...
at the door, not allowed in.
She threw a duster at Dennis Carlin from Slane and broke his glasses and then said to him, "Now look what you made me do."
Oh, one of those.
Now, the best one ever from school is this. And Tommy, you know we got you. But we had a hardback copy for Irish Essays in first and second, first year. So yeah, every Friday...
Can we tell the story?
We were given a topic.
Uh-oh.
We have to tell this story.
Oh, open it up. Tell it,
Is it bad, Tommy?
Go on, tell it.
Look at him, look at him, looking at the ground. He's ringing his solicitor as we speak.
Is the teacher dead?
This is Tommy Tiernan.
No, it's nothing to do with the teacher.
This is Tommy Tiernan on a podcast, looking at the ground going, oh, can we tell this story?
He's coming out in a sweat.
No, it's only because it's a bit graphic.
It's a bit graphic.
Well,
but
how
but
graphic?
The podcast is graphic, isn't
it? Is. And you get,
is it like bad?
You got 900 young fellas in a school. 900 testosterone filled little Mickeys walking around.
Can we tell this
Go
story?
Go on, tell it.
Tell it. Jesus, you've got to build it up now.
Well, it's terrible. Well, it's not. It's great.
Were you drawing pictures
You're on the right track.
So we would have an essay to write in
Oscar,
Irish every Friday, and the topics, whatever. And you'd all have a special hardback copy for your essays. The only essays were allowed to
be
written.
Oh, God, please don't tell me this is going to be
so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you'd write your essay and then you'd hand it up on a Monday. So every Monday, someone would go around and collect the copies.
I'm getting sick already.
So one of the boys would go, the teacher would say, Go teampo like spoiling the copler and hand up your essays. Derek Dungan, go around there and collect the copies. So Dungan would go around and collect the copies, the hardbacks, and he'd stack them up. And then he got a hold of Tommy's. And was it Dungan that did
no,
it?
No, no. Am
I veering?
You're veering. So what happened was somebody got a hold of
your copy
of mine up
before you handed it up.
I was made to sit up at the very front. So I had a little schoolboy desk and she had a teacher desk. So there was, mine was kind of coming in lower than hers. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, she couldn't see your desk as such.
No,
she
could. She could, but there was just a bit of a, say, a 2 or 3 inch rise from my desk up to her desk. And she would often sit, on her desk and just be looking around. And I was really, really in close to her. So, give me a surname there. Just pick a surname out
pick
of your
any
mind.
Surname in
O'Grady.
Ireland.
Okay, O'Grady.
No, you can't pick that because that's my auntie's surname.
Murphy.
That's my auntie's marital surname.
And Murphy. Okay, it's a really...
No, don't say Murphy because that's really Navin. Pick another surname random.
Blewett.
No, you can't say Blewett in this story.
Tommy Tiernan. Just
no, you can't
Tiernan.
Say won't
a
work.
Surname.
I've given you three.
Give us a random one from Scotland or somewhere.
Come on.
Loin.
No, that won't work.
I'm just so tenderloin.
Foley. We'll go Foley.
Foley, yeah, Foley.
Okay, so Foley. We'll imagine that the teacher's name was Foley, right? So yeah. I'm sitting on, and I paid no attention to anything in the school anyway. So it was back in the, I can't remember, we spent a year where the teachers came round to our classroom, and then we spent another year where the teachers had classrooms and we'd go around.
Right.
So this was one of those where we'd go around. So I came in and I sat down. I had to sit up the front for Irish and I got out all my copies and I just threw them on. I didn't give a shit. Like, I just threw them on the table like that. And just sitting there, my mind drifting, thinking about some of the girls from the Mercy Convent, wondering would I ever get the chance to go out with the girls from the Loretto. The Loretto women were just, they were just a different,
they were just a different class.
They were
and
a class.
Now, the Mercy girls were nice, but...
They're nice, but they didn't have that glamour that
posher,
the Loretto.
Though,
the Loretto girls were. They would have,
did they play hockey and stuff?
Yes, and they would have had showers. They would have been clean. They'd be cleaner. The Mercy women were rough enough.
I went out with a Mercy girl.
What do you mean they're rough enough?
I did.
It'd be like say you went to.
I went to a Mercy school.
Yeah, now, but maybe it's
Larissa,
different.
I'm with you on that. I went out with a Mercy girl for a year.
Say you went to Rio de Janeiro and you met a beautiful young one from the favela, which is the kind of the shanty town, and she's fine and she's gorgeous, but she's from the favela. And then you went to kind of to the docky of Rio de Janeiro or Kalini and you met some other posh ones.
Ipanema.
Yeah, so that was the difference. The girl from Ipanema. So all the girls from the Loretto were the Ipanemas.
Yes.
And the ones...
Well, I take
now, I don't,
serious...
Now, that's a serious comment.
No, it's a general comment you made.
I went
now.
Out with a girl from Mercy. She was a boarder.
Anyway.
Mercy.
Lads, this is a whole...
We'll get back to this in a moment.
Come back to the Mercy girls.
Because you're only diluting the story.
So anyway...
were daydreaming.
Mercy girls were normal. They were normal. They were more earthy.
Yes, and they played Gaelic football and stuff.
Loretta. Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm sitting there dreaming of these girls or thinking about Liverpool or Alex Higgins or something like that. And Miss Mrs. Foley is teaching away there, right? And she's looking around and she's telling this and she's saying that about Peg or Martin or Diron or what's that one? Neil Cash. What's Kilcash?
That's the sort of shit that's going on the blackboard.
Right. So I'm sitting there, and Mrs. Foley is just looking around, teaching away, and her eyes are drifting from one young fella to the next. And then she comes looking at me. Now, I would have been liked by a lot of the teachers, but I would have been hated as well, because I was one of those guys
who, disruptive.
No, not disruptive. Well, disruptive in a gentle way, disruptive like a tickle, not like a punch.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
So you didn't disrupt the whole class, but you weren't really partaking in the class.
No, I was kind of harmless, but absent-minded.
Right.
The other kind of, you'd look at me and go, there's no badness in that
and
child.
There's no point in,
I just can't get him focused.
Yeah.
But they'd also know that I was quite smart, so they would frustrate them. Why can't we get this dreamer to focus on his?
Yes.
I got my intercert results and junior cert results in Navin, and I failed three subjects, and the headmaster, Mr. Murphy, he handed me, and I remember he said, "I hope this teaches you a lesson." That's what he said when I got my junior cert results. Anyway,
who's collecting the copies?
Listen, no, Bocklishin.
So Mrs. Foley is glancing around.
She's glancing around and she's saying this and she's saying that, and her eyes are going from one little boy to the next. We're all only about 13, like. And next thing she looks at me and she's talking away, and then she looks at my copy. And the class, everything stops like that, like it's stopping now.
Mm-hmm.
And then she makes eye contact with me and she stares at me with a kind of a question mark. She's going, "Look at me." And I've no idea what's happening. And then she looks down at my copybook.
Oh, God.
And I look down at my copybook.
Oh, Jesus.
And one of my friends has written
in marker,
"I love Foley's ghee."
Oh, stop it.
In big writing.
On my copybook.
On the hardback copy.
Oh, no.
Right at the front of it.
Oh, no.
In a pile, and his was on the top of the pile.
"I love Foley's ghee."
That, that's a burn.
Now, this is on a Monday, handing up your essay.
Uh-oh.
How can a lad recover from something like that?
Oh,
I still haven't recovered from it, that's why.
How can anyone recover from
I thought it was going to be worse.
And can
that.
I? No, but the word "ghee," it's the information of the word "ghee."
It's horrible.
Well, it's very juvenile.
It's a slash fanny piss word, isn't it? It's kind of, there's no romance in it.
Love or ghee.
Well, I mean, I don't think you were aiming for romance at 13.
You did like ghee. Not saying you didn't like ghee at the time, because you're on about Loretta Ghee.
I would never even use that word, actually.
Nah, Tommy, please.
Did you ever find out who did it?
Oh, I did, of course. The next class, I was sitting beside somebody else. And
I hope you did it back to them.
No, and I said to this particular fella, let's call him John Mahan.
You can't call him John Mahan.
No.
Because he's a county selector.
Okay. He manages Offaly, and that's not the same fella because he's from Mayo.
No, okay. No, John Filippino.
John, I'm sitting beside John Filippino in the next class.
Jesus.
And I'm saying to him, we have a head of the farm, like, or what it's called, a class
prefect.
A kind of a teacher who's in charge of your year. That's not the headmaster.
Oh yeah, they're called the year head.
The year head. So, and I said, should I tell him about Mrs. Foley's ghee? And he said, no, you shouldn't. I don't think you should. I think you just keep it to yourself and take your bait, and you'd be standing outside Irish until you do your leaving cert. But I think...
Were you thrown out there and then?
He was the tramp that wrote it.
Of course he was, because he said...
That's an awful thing to write.
He betrayed you there.
And it was a good copybook. It was the hardback one.
Yeah.
And destroyed it.
What did you... Was it a cover? Could you take the cover off, like?
Sure, I had to burn it. I couldn't...
Couldn't tipex over a ghee.
Couldn't tipex over that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So you know I'm mad into the chanting.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like religious chanting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've been experimenting with different languages recently to see languages I don't understand, to see what the effect it has on me.
Right.
So I've been trying the Japanese chanting and I don't like it. Give us a go.
Is that the alphabet?
I like the sound of that. Outside a monastery above in Qing.
That is awful.
Shenzhen Monastery outside Tokyo.
It's too harsh.
It's too harsh.
Now, the Japanese are also the lads, they're into honour killing. Not honour killing, so that's the Iranians and the Indians. Shameful death of yourself. In other words, if you do something to let the family down, you stick a sword in your own stomach and die. They're very much into that. So they're very, it's a harsh kind of...
Samurai!
I don't know if you, when me
yes,
and Hector...
Yes, love that.
When me and Hector were growing up, we used to watch a program called Monkey. A monkey.
Monkey man! Monkey!
Monkey magic!
Shenzhen!
A monkey. Monkey used to hang around with a pig, and the two of them, the pig was a bit thick, but they're called Monkey and the pig, you'd go around and they'd be having adventures.
They're like people.
People, monkey, people, pig.
But they could shape shift into pigs and monkeys.
Yeah. But you know, but pig had a pig snout in him.
Monkey! And he could just jump up on top of a like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. This is way before Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Monkey! He'd swiddle around like that and shapeshift up on top of the building.
Was this real or was it just
you? Kung Fu and everything.
The television program.
Right. Monkey.
Man.
But, so I find the Japanese language too harsh. Especially when, now, there's a great wisdom they say in... the problem with a lot of religion, my father said to me, Tom, religion is all right, just don't take it too seriously. But sometimes with words, like when I go at the Bible, it sets off associations that logically I can't accept. Okay? So I'd be reading a bit of the Bible and I go, that makes no sense to me.
Right.
So how can I believe that when my own brain is saying to me, But with Japanese... You go. The whole point of it is that you're talking for Irish people, and in this particular chanting cult that I belong to, is that you chant things you don't understand because it'll bypass.
When did you start this?
Ages ago.
Can I join it?
Yes.
Really?
You bypass the logical mind, and then you just.
Can I just establish? Does somebody teach you this, or did you just?
Oh, it's on the computer.
I love this. I
You're mad for the morning call to prayer.
Yeah.
So then, what then I started doing was the Japanese doesn't suit me. It's too strict.
We sanimasuka anji song. Remember Samurai? What was his name?
John.
John.
He get the sword and he shove it straight into him. Kill himself. We sanimasuka anji song. Samurai. Samurai. That's the way the samurai kill each other.
And no, themselves.
Samurai kill themselves. They go, yes! Straight to us. And then they'd say at the end, we sanimasuka anji song, which is see you later.
Before they take their last
you
breath.
You fools. But I know what you're coming from, Tommy. The Japanese, the proud people.
So it's too like the Japanese. The Japanese are the, like, they were the kamikaze fellas. They were fellas that they were.
I think Hector stuck something in.
I know. All these imageries are coming back of monkey and samurai.
But the kamikaze guys, like, they came up with that of instead of having instead of the plane having bombs, the plane would be a bomb. Yeah. Do you remember that they,
yeah,
they
kamikazes.
Yeah, da. Fucking explosion. So,
oh God.
Anyway, so I found that a bit harsh.
Well, that's
just
good.
The Japanese, it wouldn't suit my temperament. I'm a bit more romantic. So then I got into this language called Pali, which is they say the original language that the Buddha spoke. And I'd be chanting in Pali. And I love the Pali chants.
Have you got a book?
No, the Pali chants are, there's just something, again, I don't understand what they're saying, but there's just, it's,
can you
just listen to this now. Go. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa.
Give it one more time. Keep going.
No, I isn't that just a beautiful?
It is. Lovely.
It doesn't kind of get you in a kind of it gets you into a zone. You've no idea what you're saying, but something about it kind of just you know. And it started me thinking about the power of words.
Right.
You know? And say you go to Anfield, right? Now, I know in you're both Man United fans and you've a great, you're just,
when you
take
hear a great,
me home, country
road. No, there's better ones than that.
To United!
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 You have to get, go on, Lorena, give it to us.
United!
You can't say United. You have to go, United!
United! So, I mean, if you have 77,000 people chanting that,
yeah,
that just must be United. United. United.
United.
United. United.
Did you feel that, Loretta? Could you feel that?
Even though you might be a Spurs supporter, even just to sing that, and when you go to Anfield,
yes,
and you and. I'd be nearly crying
listening to that.
Just the emotion of it. And it made me start thinking of, like, Kino, Kino. There's something about
roaring
that just, and Irish soccer. Irish Gaelic. There's no songs in Gaelic, really, apart from that Garda training song.
What's that?
Come on, ye boys in blue.
That is a sickening song.
The Templemore special. But the greatest song in Irish soccer ever was. Now, I used to go to see Galway United, and Galway United had one of the most phenomenal songs. It made absolutely no fucking sense whatsoever.
And
Chance. It was mainly instigated by, so a lot of students used to come out to the Galway United matches, and they'd just be up to fucking mischief. And every home match that I went to in the mid-1990s, about 15 minutes into the match, this cunt in a fucking PLO scarf and a plastic machine gun. This makes no sense. It doesn't do football, right?
You know the Yasser Arafat PLO.
Oh yes,
yeah, everyone wears. There's always one or two around Galway wearing it.
Yeah.
This guy would just appear out of nowhere with a plastic machine gun and start singing "Muja, the Muja, the Mujahideen." And next thing, we're at a football match in the fucking west of Ireland, Galway versus Dundalk. We are the Muja, the Muja, the Mujahideen. Made no fucking sense whatsoever. But it was.
But
awful.
Everyone got involved.
That was awful, cracky.
But, in under a corrugated shed above in Dundalk.
But the greatest Irish soccer chant I've ever heard of was, and I got this via Andrew Maxwell, phenomenal Irish comedian, told me this story. There was a footballer for Derry City by the name of Felix Healy and Felix Healy was a striker. And every time he scored, the crowd would go, Healy, Healy, he'd be running with the hand up in the air, Healy. So
they were playing a game over the Christmas period, right?
And next thing, Felix scores.
Right.
And next thing, the fans start shouting, Away in a manger, no food for heathen. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the night sky shone down where he lay. He lay. He lay.
Ah, stop.
Isn't that genius?
Beautiful. That is brilliant.
I think it's time to check in and see how the future president of the United States of America is doing. How's Joe Biden?
Well, it's just...
I thought you were going to say Macaulay Culkin.
Just, we need to explain to people why...
Biden time.
...why we're doing this. So, I am... A cousin of Joe Biden.
The cousin of Joe Biden.
You're the only cousin, first.
That was invited up onto the stage with Joe Biden at a rally, and that is also in the short promotional video, which we might release, which we should release if we can find a platform to do it,
the audio on the podcast.
When Joe got the Congressional Medal of Honor, Loretta is in the video in the White House with Obama, with Joe Biden, getting the thing. So how is Joe doing these days?
Well, it looks very good for him now, lads. And I think we could be on to a winner here.
But isn't that what they were saying with Hillary, though?
Yeah, I know. But things are a lot different with Joe Biden. Like, he's...
He's taller.
Yeah, he's taller. Yeah. And he looks like a president.
Like a dead
he
one.
He does look like
and
a president.
And he sounds like one.
Okay.
Okay.
He's so old.
He's not... Well, he is old.
All the presidents in America to be 70 plus.
So is Donald Trump. He's old.
But Trump is a legend. Trump has superpowers.
Did you hear the story before Trump, we go on?
COVID came for Trump and he just said, fuck off. I'll eat
you. But he got
they have footage of him in the hospital eating COVID. They said, you have COVID. He said, put it in a fucking BAP and watch this. And they sucked the COVID out of him and they put it into a flowery BAP. And he fucking ate it.
What do you think?
He's a legend.
What
did you hear the story about when he was being released from a hospital? He had come up with this brilliant idea that he should wear a Superman t-shirt inside his shirt.
No.
So that when he came out of the hospital to reveal that he was healed, or as he's saying, he's cured, he was going to rip his shirt open and have a Superman t-shirt on.
Because he's a fucking legend.
That's real though. This, you know, like...
You have to say, Loretta, that him surviving and getting a blast of that vaccine or the drug from Regeneron from Limerick, he has walked out of there. He was out of his mind.
The only
drugs.
Side effect was he now has a Limerick accent.
And an extra tan. He's browner now than he ever was.
I'm a friend of America. Don't go off, fuck. I'm off me box on Yorks. Come on, don't fuck Joe Biden. I'll box your fucking head in you.
We're doing tremendous amount of sales of Yorks. we're a great position. No, but when I saw him waving out of the car and he out of it on drugs. And
it's brilliant.
He's brilliant.
He's infecting the... There's more people infected in the White House than there is in the whole of New Zealand.
Loretta, he's infected
South Korea.
Them. He's infected them with hope.
I think, Tommy, Tommy is a trumpet or Trump.
He's
something.
A trumpet.
Trumpet.
Loretta.
But yes, so obviously, I like Joe Biden as a person because I know him, you know, and I'm very, very fond of him, and I'm very loyal to him, and I'm very, you know, and I'm behind him 100%. And I swear to God, your attitude will change dramatically on the 4th of November towards me.
Loretta.
Because I will be able to call in drone strikes on a lot of people.
Will you even be able to do the podcast if he gets in?
I don't know, because I think I'm going to have a Secret Service person come and live with me. Not live with me, but they'll have to stay outside the door
now,
all the time.
And are you going to go to... When are you going to go to America?
Well, I wanted to go for the election. I was going to bring you as well.
Yeah.
But we can't fly there at the minute. So...
Well, we can fly there. We just
unless
have to get
one
clearance.
Of you've got a green card a passport.
Three separate planes.
Or we could just get a private jet.
I've got a visa.
Private jet.
We get a visa. We get a working visa.
Yeah.
Why don't we get a private jet? It costs about €5,000 for us.
We could borrow...
McGregor's.
Paul McGrath's Is it Pomegranate or private jet, or who am I thinking of?
McGregor.
McGregor.
Yeah, we could ask him to bring us over.
Okay, Loretta, now this and is then, very, very serious.
You wonder, so Ballymaloo, they have a private jet.
Have they?
What's her name? Dimpna. Doreen. Daphne.
No.
Dorina.
Dorina. She's got a private
They have
jet.
A private jet with Ballymaloo written on it. It's called Ballymaloo 747.
Seven.
Chutney. And it's chutney sandwiches inside.
Ham and cheese.
Chutney. Yeah.
So we can't go for November, but we might be able to go for the inauguration. And I'll definitely be invited.
Will
to
you
the
be? No, so now, how would you get us invited?
Well, I'll bring you as far as the gate of the White House or something.
And then what, fucking drop us like hot potatoes?
And then what would we do? End up in a bar drinking Coors Light?
No, I'll definitely
the
bring
two boys.
Like two fucking hillbillies.
How many people are allowed to go to an inauguration, do you
lots,
think?
Lots.
So there was 5 million at Trump's?
Oh, well, yeah, but they were, as I'd like to call them, commoners that were outside.
Oh, now this is where the Despicables comes in.
No, but I would like, I'll bring you to it.
Loretta, and Loretta, how much are you living this at the moment?
Because I have a better idea.
Because when you turn on CNN and Sky, are you watching this every night?
Oh, I'm watching it every minute of the day.
Did you watch the Vice President town hall thing or the other thing last
week?
Yeah,
I watch it all.
Kamala.
What happened?
They call her in America Kamala.
Kamala, Kamala, Kamala Chameleon.
Kamala. She's brilliant, you know, and yeah. I think she's quite charismatic and she's yes. young okay. and she like, this yes. is the great thing.
Well, she's no Mike Pence.
No, Mike
is like Pencey boy.
Pence he's is boring a and reliable leg. And
he's
safe.
A, he's a legend.
If he was to play a position on a football field, he wouldn't, you'd put him in goal.
No, he wouldn't. He'd own the fucking team.
No, you'd put him on goal.
Loretta.
He'd be reliable and solid and he wouldn't talk very much.
Could you get, so if you can get myself and Hector over for the inauguration, like, is there any way we'd be able to make decisions?
Decisions on?
Like foreign,
foreign
policy.
Trade policy.
Maybe, Ireland. Maybe we, I wonder would he be able to give us a division to run in American politics?
Like Idaho.
Just yeah. give us a, no. Tommy. We would be in charge of all visas and green cards for Irish people going in and out.
No, we'd be sure. We'd be
I'd build
we
a fucking road from Brussels to New York.
What we're looking to do is, first of all, get the boys who did the big dig in Boston that dug under the 7-lane motorway. We'll get them to dig a tunnel between America, between Boston yeah. and Inishmore.
I will do 900 fucking apple greens.
Imagine that, a one-way interhighway for Irish people between Boston and Kilronan.
We could call it
the Biden
bypass.
The Biden bullet train. 4 hours and you're in Inishmore. Fuck it, could you imagine? We'd have apple greens.
We could have our village down there.
A Buckfast factory halfway.
For 8,000 fucking toll booths.
How much would it cost to get from Boston to Inishmore?
Oh,
so it's exciting though for you, isn't it?
It's exciting for me because I'm not one of these relations that they've just dug up out of, you know,
the ground.
Yeah, and just said, oh, here, look at your Irish and you can be my yes. cousin kind of thing. So I was there in February, went off to Nevada and Vegas and I went canvassing for them and I spent the week, I spent 10 days there on the trip, going around with them on his bus.
That's incredible. Loretta, at the top of this piece, Tommy said that you were in a promotional video. Before we play the audio of that, can you just talk us through exactly what happened on that day?
So I was very keen to get to the White House while Joe Biden was still the president or vice president. So I used to probably kind of stalk them a lot and email them and say, oh, can I come over this weekend? Oh, can I come over this week? So they eventually were like, oh yeah, listen, I got a few dates and then things would change. He'd have business and then I'd have to go, couldn't go, whatever. So on the Tuesday, before we went over, it was around the 10th of June or January, I think. So the Tuesday evening, I found out, green light, you can come. Book the flight that night, flew the next morning.
Who'd you fly with, American or Aer Lingus?
United.
And when you were, what did you have to tell the security people in Shannon that you were doing? Or
I went from Dublin, but I told, you know, when you go through immigration at the, whatever you call it, down at the bottom of Dublin airport, I said to them, they were like, oh, what's the matter? You know, the purpose of your trip. And I said, I'm going to the White House. And your one got ecstatic because of course his picture was up on the wall as well because he was a vice president, you know, the picture they got the president
ecstatic.
Absolutely
they were ecstatic. She was thrilled. I was so excited. Oh my god. And I, you know, they have to ask you where you're staying or what's the address, and I was like, gave her the address of the White House, and she's there writing it down. She goes, that's the White House. I said, I know, I'm staying there for a few days. She was like,
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue or something,
Is
it?
Yeah. Wow. So arrived over, and then I got a phone call. They had somebody pick me up, take me to the airport or to the hotel. And on the way there, they rang me and said, oh, look, we're glad you've arrived safely. Listen, we've had to tell the vice president that your trip had to be cancelled. And I said, oh, why? Well, something really important is happening tomorrow. We don't know what it is, but the president has asked for Joe Biden for the afternoon. So we've just said, look, he can't come. But you come as scheduled and we'll get you in very quietly. We'll make sure he doesn't see that you're here and blah, blah, blah. So I arrived at the White House and there was boys with big guns and body armour on them and the whole lot. And they were just like, Big, fierce fellas and big, and I went
it's like
up.
Like Silver Bridge GA. Ray-Bans. South Armagh.
Ray-Bans, where they were all wearing Ray-Bans.
They were like
walkie-talkies.
Big, and they had big guns as well as guns, you know, big muscles. So I came over and I went, hi. I was like, I'm Joe Biden's cousin. I'm here to visit him. And your man was there going, bad news. He said, you know, the vice president's after having to leave. I'll go off on official duty. I says, well, to be honest now, I don't care, but I'm here now to visit him and I'm going in there whether he's here or not. So my brother was with me and my brother-in-law and they were like, would you stop? You know, Jesus, be more respectful or whatever. And they were having a bit of a laugh with me and I was like, oh my God, you're a big fierce man, aren't you? And I was doing all this flirting and rubbing his buttons.
I had the red nails done.
I had the red nails done and I had the high heels on and the whole lot. So arrived in and it was like going through airport security. You know, you have to take your bag off, you have to take your shoes off, you have to go through all this. And then the next thing, they just gave me a little badge to put around my neck and they were like, okay, enjoy your time at the White House. And they just let me off roaming around. I was up, you know the picture that you see of the White House in front of all the news reports?
Yeah.
I was up hanging outside the door getting photographs out there. And then his staff were like, oh, come over here, over to the West Wing then. Went to the West Wing and there was just like the army
Where's the room with the fucking bomb?
Oh, the Situation Room.
Where you press it in.
Situation.
You can fucking blow up Brazil.
Yeah, I saw that. And it was, I was like Dougal and Father Ted, don't press the red button. So, and all the army guys were there in their red jackets and they would just open the door for you and salute you.
Class.
You know, it was all like so kind of serious, sexy.
It's hard to believe.
And then obviously they brought me in, they showed me where the staff of all, like the vice president and the president would eat their food. And then they showed like the official canteen where like the president and the vice president.
Did they waterboard you?
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
What do you mean no?
No, they didn't.
Did you ask for it?
No. No, I wasn't. I'm not used to that. I'm not from, I don't know, the north.
Go on. Yeah.
So then was there for the day. I was a bit disappointed, to be honest. Went to the White, they brought us over to the...
do you know what the waterboarding thing is?
Yeah. Where they cover your head.
It's Guantanamo
like,
Bay.
Was Guantanamo Bay there as well, was it?
Was there any interrogation? Yeah. Was there any interrogation where they slapped you around the place?
Yeah, well, maybe we should save that for another podcast.
Where are you from in Mayo? I'm not telling you. What do you mean? When's the last time Knockmore won a county? Fuck off! I'm not telling you.
They put what a do black you think of Aidan O'Shea?
Tell me what you think of Aidan O'Shea as a footballer. No!
Fucking put a black Joe Dolan really loud.
Why didn't you win the All-Ireland in 96?
Oh, God. Yeah, smashed us up. So, yeah, there was a bit of that. And then they brought us to the dining room.
Oh, yeah.
The White House. And it was all, like, he was thinking, God, it's a bit boring. Like, there was just glass water there. Outside, and I was like, oh,
was Hannibal Lecter there?
Got all the way.
Tell me your relationship with Willie Joe Patton.
And obviously, then it was just a big bloody. It was all exciting. He got the Medal of Freedom. It was.
Yeah, but he can park anywhere now, can't he? With that.
Yeah, he can. Yeah, and he can. Anywhere.
He can rob stuff out of shops.
But Loretta, in a roundabout,
and get milk for free.
In a roundabout way.
No
there.
Way. And he can bring sheep anywhere as well. That's one of the things.
In a roundabout
and he can
way,
shear them himself.
Just tell us just there. I wanted to get to that piece of the audio we're going to hear is Joe Biden. You were sitting beside who? Tell us.
I was sitting beside my brother, who was. I had to drag out of the toilets at the White House because he was checking out the piping system the toilets. Yeah, he was stop it, and he was
that's
doing
some good damn shit, man.
Motherfucker Joe Biden!
Your brother was in checking out the piping system in the jacks.
Yeah. He's
getting fucking whacked.
It was not. How dare you?
Was he down on his hunkers looking at the piping?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't with him, but. That's what
just happened to have his credit card in his hand and a rolled up fucking $20 note.
And you
motherfucker!
Some good shit here in Washington DC. And so you walk back out here and you sat down and tell us what happened. Who was around you?
Well, I was with the Joe Biden's family and Michelle Obama was there and their daughters.
That is mad. Was she in front of you? Were you behind?
She was just the row in front of me.
Were you looking at her hair? Were you looking at the way she was dressed?
Thankfully, she was to the right of me because she's quite tall and I was quite small, so she would have blocked my view.
Michelle is incredible, isn't she?
She's big calves, didn't she?
Yeah, I didn't pay particular attention to them. But and then afterwards, I got to meet them. Barack and Michelle and the children.
And this is a clip.
And then we had the biggest party ever. It was brilliant outside afterwards.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I went to a Republican club afterwards and that's when the crack started.
Now, a Republican club is...
where it's like a member's...
It's like the Garda club for Republicans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And was it good fun there?
Oh, it was brilliant.
Really?
There was only men in there. I don't know, was it a men's only club? But men in there.
And you?
And me. And I arrived because I was having wine and champagne and vodka and everything in the White House, I went in and I was pulling men by the ties and putting their ties into my mouth and dragging them across the bar. And I was
Coyote Ugly. Was this a club in the White House called?
No, it was across the road.
It was like an R&R. It's all, like the mess, the officer's mess.
Where all the business end. Where all the business goes.
And what was going on in there? Was it?
There was a. And then you got in.
What?
It was a secret knock.
It's got the Mayo knock, has it?
Yeah, I had to do a secret knock. And then I went in and I was like, I'm Joe Biden's cousin and I'm here to entertain you.
Da, 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 da. On the M17 stone walls.
Honestly, there wasn't a business card in the place I didn't have in my handbag going home. I had them all absolutely whipped up into shape. And of course, you know, when you're Irish and you're putting on that old brogue of the Mayo talk, there was stars coming out of their
eyes. Can I just say, will you please, when your cousin becomes the President of the United States of America,
will you please bring me
and Tommy into that officer's mess?
Oh, yeah. We'll bring you back to the Republican Club.
We'll all DJ in there. Yeah. Stick on the Prodigy.
With everything you want and a little.
And Bronski Beat. Alone in a world.
He just watched Fox News in there.
Don't go!
Wow, it's exciting times.
So it's exciting. We'll give you more updates next week.
Biden time.
Well, everybody, I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast with Tommy Hunter and Arita Blewett. And we'll talk to you next week.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.